It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than scammer stimulus checks. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and clicking live broadcast. Also, you can go to our Facebook live broadcast of live coming at you right now. Go to Davin's Den on Facebook, and I think Pip has it up on her page if you happen to be friends with Pip, and Joe has it up on his page if you happen to be friends with Joe. I, of course, am your host, Davin Rosebud. I'm joined on the phone by Joe Curry, who is live from his home, where, like his grill, he has been sequestered away from his neighbors.
Yes.
And Pip Helix is live from her home, where she finally has the time to start her own catnip garden.
Yes, trying. Hi, everybody.
Hello, kids. So we're back. We're going to try to get you through the pandemic on the show. The president has a beef with voting with through the mail. Something we've been doing a long time. The president's upset. Our government is now giving money to churches. Churches were open for Easter despite federal guidelines that they did not want gatherings more than 10 people. That didn't convince everybody. I threw this in there because this just happened. Is the WWE an essential business? The governor of Florida thinks so. There's a new scam that involves your coronavirus stimulus checks. And we'll see if we get some more stuff. And scamming scammers. I left with a cliffhanger last week. Is it the end for me and Lacey? It looked very bad. Could be the end for Lacey, so do I continue with Lacey? And is this the beginning of Carolyn Fuchs? You're going to have to tune in. So we got a lot of fun stuff to go on. And, of course, if you guys are hearing me and you want me to comment or something, or there's a question or a topic you want to talk about, my personal cell phone number where you guys can reach me is 551-404-3094. Again, that's 551-404-3094. Feel free to hit me up. But we are going to start off. Well, last week, Joe and I were full of piss and vinegar. We had things to bitch about. This week, Joe and I are in delightful moods because that's generally the way Joe and I. We're very happy people. And, you know.
Just slow down.
All right. Well, we're very happy people when we're not near each other.
Right.
But this week, our own sweetheart, our own mild-mannered orchid, Pip, has a you stink, so I will cue up the music, and Pip will start us off with the grievances, although I will say it's not really a grievance unless you have, like, 10 reporters asking you questions about it. Then it's a fucking grievance.
You stink!
Before you get started, by the way, wouldn't that be great if before President Trump answered every question, he just, like, he pointed to a reporter and somebody played you stink, and then he answered the question?
I would love that. That's a snarky little sound bite.
I feel
great
like
idea. Best idea I've ever seen heard.
I feel like that would cut down on his press conferences from like 2 hours to like 45 minutes, because he could just get his point across with a 2.5 second bumper, and boom, he's on his way. You know what I'm saying?
They're not entertaining enough for you lately.
No, that's, I don't want it. It's too much. I just like this way he could get on with it. This way, you, CBS, fake news, you stink. And then he could go on with it instead of, you know, riffing and personalizing all that stuff. Just the generic you stink. And then we're on with it. I feel that would be good for the country. But what do I know? So, Pip, what has happened, my sweetheart? What is going on that has got your panties up in a bunch?
Well, I kind of like them that way. But besides that, you know, a lot of people who are on Facebook that follow me or are my in real life friends, show friends and assorted have been following for years my Tales of the Evil Overlords. And these were my trials and tribulations at my old job. But oh, I thought that the new job was going really well for the first couple of months. Mm-hmm. And then my boss that I hired on with got replaced with Supervisor Karen.
I feel like if you were like an HBO series, they got complaints that now that you were happy, the ratings were starting to dip. So they brought in a special guest for the third and final season of As Pip Turns. Just to, like Jason Bateman was brought in, because you bring in Jason Bateman when you got to turn it up a notch. I feel like Jason Bateman was brought in. Like, what?
I know. Pip Helix and Marky Post is Pip Helix.
I think Pip merits more than Marky Post. I mean, this is an 80s Marky Post. I mean, Jesus, we're 40 years past their prime. Christ sakes, I think Pip deserves a little more respect than that.
It was Post.
Yeah, really. Besides, I don't think Marky Post can whip up the piss and vinegar that I get when I'm really, truly aggravated by these people.
Hey, Ron, I see you in the chat room. Hey, Ron. So yeah, like, I feel like things were too good for you. It wasn't very interesting. And then the monkeys are like, you know, the writers are like, let's turn it up a notch. Let's turn up the insanity.
Yeah, apparently all of the baked goods that I brought to the writer's table wasn't good enough, and they decided to flip the switch on me, the bastards.
Well, in their defense, the writers probably spoke to Anthony Cumia, who said, don't eat that. It'll make you ill.
Yeah, right. They got notes.
Yeah, I brought the COVID before the COVID was popular.
Pip COVID Helix. That's what we call you.
I interviewed for this job. It was like a new industry for me. It was, you know, just office work. Office monkey push papers. I can do this. And just show me what you want. I'll do it. I took a step down in pay because I, in effect, retired from my old industry, and I'm getting a small amount so I can afford to take less pay and hopefully less aggravation, having a less stressful job, you know, not a big position. I don't have a big ego. I don't have to be climbing the ladder. I just let me settle in. Have a job, I know how to do it, and I'm good.
So you're not really climbing the ladder. You're the person on the bottom of the ladder holding it in place.
Exactly.
Those are your career aspirations. You just want to hold the ladder. You don't want to raise up the ladder. You just want to hold it, make sure nobody else falls off.
I want to hold the ladder with one hand so I can drink my coffee with the other.
Wow, so you don't want to hold the ladder securely. You just want to get paid for half-ass holding the ladder.
Listen, I could put my other elbow on a rung, you know? Uh-huh. I mean, you know, I'll throw the coffee if the chips fall and I have to catch somebody or it really gets rickety. But, yeah, I just, at this point in my life, I just want to hold the ladder with one hand and hold my coffee.
Now, was this in the interview
process?
To be a road worker. Was this in the interview process when they asked, what are your goals? You're like, I have none.
almost. I talked to this really lovely woman in HR, mm-hmm. and, you know, she explained what the job was, and I said, well, that's perfect. This is what I want to do. That sounds like I can do this. And, you know, I've been doing this stuff all my work life. This is great.
Okay.
So now I you know, the woman who is my boss, I interview with her. We get along great. Her work philosophy and mine are simpatico. First couple of months, I'm learning my stuff. She's happy with my work. 3 months in, she writes me a really nice write-up, how I'm doing. And she said that, well, you know, there's a couple of places where I didn't write, you know, exceeds expectations because there's always got to be room for growth. And I was like, I respect that. That's cool. So I have, you know, everything's going great. Unbeknownst to me, when I first get there, that woman is really unhappy with the place and really unhappy with the head honcho there.
Do you think maybe you were spite hiring? Do you think maybe she knew because she hated the place so much that you would be awful there and that you were used to punish them?
I know that your view of my work ethic would think so.
No, I'm just taking this from all the evidence we have of you over the years. I'm not putting any of my opinions in it. I'm just looking at your body of work, and I'm throwing it out there.
No, I was not a spite hire.
You were not a spite hire.
I was doing well. Everybody liked me. My work production was fine. Everything was as they advertised, and I was doing good. I was happy. And then this nice lady left. We had, I don't remember the exact time period, but a month and a half where we were supervised. We didn't have a direct supervisor. We were supervised by one of the upper muckety-mucks, and I found out what their definition of acceptable insanity was in supervision. And my coworker and I started to look at each other every day and going, I'm just checking. Are you seeing what I'm seeing here? And we're both like, oh, God. Yeah. Oh boy. And things hit the fan.
Now, I will say this. Crazy does recognize crazy.
I would think, I mean, I do have a good track record of spotting nuts.
Well, I mean, look at it. I mean, just look at the three of us. We all gravitated to each other low those many years ago. That's not an accident. Crazy recognizes crazy.
That was like a three-way. I saw them across the room.
All right, don't make it gross.
I remember 7 years ago, I would show up with a couple of screws loose.
Joe, don't be so hard on yourself. Every time you show up, there's a few screws loose.
We hear things rolling across the floor. We know it's a screw.
Oh, Christ. Facebook is being a bitch again.
Well, you know, is Facebook in league with my supervisor? You'd think, right? There's a lag time, so I still see you move it around.
See, here's the thing. Everybody's doing it. I hate to interrupt, although, no, I really don't. We'll get back to it. But a mini rant.
There it goes.
No.
The watch party is over.
But just fucking start it up again, God damn it.
The watch party is over.
Here's the thing. Everybody's jumping on. Fuck you both. Everybody's jumping on to Facebook Live, including us, who'd never really done this before. And because of that, I think that's the reason why you can't go like any time without a crapping out. We had people watching, listening, whatever the hell it was. And now it's gone, and I got to restart it. It's just a pain in the ass. And again, it's not something I can control. So now Joe's got to find it again. Pip's got to find it again. The people we had, if they want to find it again, it's a shame. This shit happens.
Yeah.
It's inconvenient for the listener, which really is probably the best way to do this is to really listen on davincomedy.com and hit live broadcast instead of watching it. I mean, because really all you're seeing is me. And I'm not that exciting. I am very attractive, but I am not that exciting. So, all right.
Well, you know what? It is a shame. And over at davincomedy.com, there's just me and Joe talking to each other. So that's not what the point of it is.
I think the people prefer the visual medium, and it goes out to everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people like to see, which is something, you know, we'll consider, you know, if we're ever allowed to anti-social distance again. You know, that's when the three of us are together. It's always anti-social. Well, I mean, we'll talk about whether, you know, we want to add the Facebook Live thing. Although I'll tell you, if I'm having issues like that, I'd rather not. That being said, that's the situation. Rant over. So let me, people just coming back. So Pip was happy. And then she wasn't happy.
And then it was like that great, you know, screeching of the tires where you know something is amiss. Mm-hmm. And there was a while where the Reader's Digest version of it was that they changed their policies on something that they do at the end of the year. And the lovely woman that I worked under at first I don't think thought through what was going to be the tragic consequences of changing that policy. And there was an overload of work for my position like nobody's business. There was a tsunami of work to do. And all of a sudden it was like, help me? Somebody? Hello? I'm new. Hello?
But that's how it always is. Shit always rolls downhill, and you were at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah. There was no way to do everything in a given day.
I mean, what the folks don't know is, literally, when this was happening, you would come here in tears. You were so overwhelmed, overworked, destroyed. You felt really helpless. I don't think I'm talking out of school here. I mean, Pip and I would just, before we did the happy part of the show, if any of this is happy, but before we did the happy part of the show, you know, Pip and I would just just chat just so she could get it out and, you know, try to get her in a better frame of mind, not just for the show, because quite frankly I find all of us are much more entertaining when we're miserable, but just for her, just for her own well-being. I mean, you were really in a bad way.
Yeah, I really was. And Davin performed the talk Pip off of the ledge portion of the show before we lodged into the normal portion of the show.
Normal portion of the show is push Pip off the ledge.
Yeah, that's the normal part of the show.
Yes.
But the, I'm gonna push myself part was not what these guys signed up for.
No.
And luckily for Joe, he was still, you know, battling the demons on the traffic front, and he didn't have to see this. But Davin, you know, he got an extra couch, and he got a little pad and pen. Okay, it must have started with your father or your mother.
She did a Rorschach test. I go, that looks like Joe.
I was beside myself, because not only was there just like a shitstorm going on there, but the person who was like my temporary supervisor, who was a big mucky muck there, she didn't understand why I couldn't do it all. And she's just like, what's the problem? The person who was here before you used to do it. And I'm like, yeah, but they changed this and such, and now it's like 10 times as much. I'm not a lazy bitch. I'm staying here late.
Well, slow down. Slow down.
What?
Slow down. You might be a lazy bitch. Maybe not in this scenario, but you know, you might be a lazy bitch. You might be.
Oh, look, I am a lazy bitch. If you knew how many times in a row I've worn this shirt, you'd know.
Jesus Christ. Didn't I rant about this a couple of weeks ago, you filthy animals? Take a shower. Shave your back. Oh, wait, that's me. But anyway, do what you got to do. Do what you got to do.
I'm taking a shower after the show. I have my priority.
All right. All right.
Oh, so, I was disgusting. I didn't take a shower from Thursday to Sunday. I was like, I didn't care.
This is how we roll in the apocalypse.
You guys are filthy.
And by the way, Davin,
yes.
I'm wearing the shirt that you gave me with all the kitty cats on it.
Oh, good. Well, I wish you would wash it, but good.
No, it's probably going to have to be burned.
Okay.
But I really did enjoy it while I wore it.
Again, my saving grace is I'm working out, you know, five times a week, Monday through Friday. So if I don't shower, it's going to get ripe up in this bitch. So that's right. All right. So you are in a place where you are overworked. They are expecting you to do things that is really, in your opinion, inhuman, that just cannot be done by one person.
It was not human. There was just no way to do this shit. And no one was understanding me or offering any help. And you saw the product of that. I was really beside myself. So now they hire Supervisor Karen. And at first I think, okay, she's new. She's got different ways of doing things. But, you know, we'll figure out what she wants. She wants to change some things. Okay. But first we have to get out from under this hole that we're in with all this work. So we, you know, we put our noses to the grindstone. We try to get that stuff done. Of course, she decides that while we're doing this, that she's going to change some policies and she's going to do things in different ways, not listening to me like, well, you know, we have to do it that way because on the back end, this is going to happen. So there's some of this stuff that I ended up having to do twice because, hey, who am I? What do I know? And she's brand new, but she knows better. So we start off kind of on a rough start because she's like a bull in a china shop, and she knows everything. And she is the prototypical Karen. She's even got one of those fucking hairstyles. It's unbelievable.
Let me ask you a question. How long has she been the supervisor there?
Oh, God. How old am I now? When did this start? This was like, I think this was it November or December?
All right, we get the point. It's been a couple of months.
Well, the reason I'm asking is a supervisor, when a new supervisor takes over, a good one will not really change anything. They'll observe and see how everything is done, and not really get in the way and see if they can fine tune everything. They don't just go in and start to change everything.
Yeah, but Joe,
that you need to learn. Yeah,
but Joe, Karen probably thought she has a very good brain and she knew all the best people. I'm just fucking with you, Joe. But yes, Joe is right. Anybody who comes into a new environment, Joe's absolutely right. They want to learn what's going on, see what works, see what doesn't work. You don't change everything right away because you don't know how that culture is. It's culture shock.
You don't know the culture. You don't know people's work style.
Yes.
You know, you as a supervisor, you need to see that and then see if and then after a while, you start to fine tune things.
Yeah, all of these things that you guys are saying are very reasonable things.
Joe and I are very reasonable people. That's what everybody says.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Some of those people are right. You would think that these reasonable things would be what happened. No. Nay, nay, as Davin likes to say.
Nay, nay.
Karen decided that she knows better than everything, and she's going to change things, and she's going to change them the minute she gets in. And so she decides to change things up, and as I said, this other department that we have to send all of our information to goes, what the fuck? What now? What are you doing? And so all these things that we're sending over make no sense to them. And I'm like, yes, Supervisor Karen, I told you that there would be a back end to you changing those things. See? They're complaining. And now we're in trouble. See? And so I ended up having to do stuff twice. When we're already overwhelmed, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. So we finally get past all that stuff, and we start to get my coworker, who was fabulous, and I start to get a feel for who we're dealing with. She doesn't read an entire email. She'll read the parts that jump out at her, and then anything that you didn't put in, like, bold and underscore, that part is not being read. So you can't be subtle. We have to send her brickograms.
Okay.
And hope they land on the side of the head. Because
don't forget, Damn It All Red is your friend.
Damn It All Red. Oh, Joe, it's been months. I miss Damn It All Red.
I miss Damn It All Red.
Mr. Davin.
Yeah.
Yes. Miss Karen.
Miss Karen.
She does not get it. So now she's also like the meme for Karen. Everybody knows that that's the person that marches up and lets me see y'all supervisor. I'm not even kidding. She's told us stories about how she does this on the regular, and she's managed to piss off a couple of our vendors already because she's like, what? They did this? An outrage. And she gets on the phone or on the email and starts to harass people who have been doing business with us for a long time and decide that it's got to be her way. Well, that doesn't always go over with some of the other department heads because they've been dealing with these people, and she calls up their vendors and rips them a new one. And
she's not going to be there long. She's not going to be there long. I guarantee, you know, your problem will be they're going to give her the heave-ho.
I don't know. I don't know because the upper echelon of this company, they're all nut jobs. And the one that was my evil interim supervisor thinks she's great.
So Pip, you're working with this horrible person who's making you miserable, making other people miserable. But you know how to struggle through your day to day to get by. Yet this week, something happened that incensed you so much that not only did you post it on Facebook, you used like the block thing with the color background and everything.
When I'm posting about Supervisor Karen on Facebook, I like to use the background with the flames.
So
because I am in hell.
So what happened that incensed you this week from this person that is making your life miserable on the daily?
I tell people that she micromanages, and people say, "Oh, but Pip, that's what bosses do." No. We are working from home now, and the micromanaging goes on the daily, because we have to have 2 to 3 phone conferences to talk about what we're doing and what we're working on currently.
Was this before you were working from home?
What we used to do is get together as a group once and get together one-on-one for supervision once a week. And during the day, she would go, Pip? And both of us would be like, as soon as she said, we're like, oh, God, which one of us? And then she would say the name of who she wants, and you'd have to get up and walk inside her office and see what she wants. And this goes on all day. She doesn't gather her thoughts and ask you a bunch of things or go over stuff, pretty much. It was all day long. I have a stray thought come in here. And this is kind of the way emails are going on. And now she gathers some of them together at 9 and some of them together at noon. And then maybe we'll have to get together again later in the day. That hasn't happened so much. But originally, we were scheduled to have a 3 o'clock as well. But we definitely have the 9 and 12.
That's too many meetings. That's ridiculous.
We had one interaction where she cannot explain what she wants in writing. But I have to send what I'm going to work on for the day in writing in an email every morning.
So what happened this week? What was the thing this week?
The thing that happened this week?
Yes.
Well,
that's what I gave you the you stink for. That's what I want to know.
Yeah. We're working from home, and we were talking on a group email for a moment about the effect of the storm. And I said, I just lost power. And Karen emailed me back immediately and said, there's not an outage reported in your area.
Immediately? Like, immediately?
Like, within 2 minutes.
This dopey bitch doesn't understand. People have to call it in, and then it has to get recorded before they even post it online. She doesn't understand this.
Apparently she knows enough about it that she was on the outage map like white on rice when she heard that I said that my power went out, because she had a check.
Right, but she doesn't know enough about...
Would do.
What? What?
Yeah.
You would do. I'm looking at the outage map now, so if something sounds like out of your playbook, but for you to go really... You know.
Well, I mean, not 2 minutes after it happens, and not if I know there's a storm...
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason that somebody would do, there are only two possibilities why somebody would do something like this. Number one, pretty sure I'm lying. And number two, she had to manage the storm. You know, like, has it been reported yet? I wasn't even mentioning it because I was saying, oh, can't work today. I don't have any power. I have battery backup on this laptop. I have battery on my phone. I was still going to chug along, hoping that I would be able to make it through the end of the workday, and then, you know, whatever happens.
I like
she's right on it.
I like the idea of storm management. I feel I could do that. you know.
Just
start calling the clouds. You're blowing my garbage pails down the block. What type of shit is that? Yeah, I know you're coming, but don't be a pig about it. I can do that.
at our day program, we had people working remotely before this crisis, but we have a majority working remotely now, and we've been having phone problems. Our IT guy will send us an email. So and so's having a problem with the phones. Working on it now, and we're all adults, so we all we all know each other. We're all adults, and we take it that it is a problem. We don't go, oh, guy's probably lying, you know. I'm sure you work with adults. Your manager is god awful, and I get a funny feeling it's going to be a matter of time before upper management realizes that she's a problem.
So what happened after she said essentially she doesn't believe you?
Well, after we had said, oh, you know, the storm, I lost some power, I broke for lunch. So I found out that she had emailed me 2 minutes later.
Okay.
After I came back after lunch, and I looked at it and I said, oh my God.
But she probably
up my butt.
So because you didn't answer right away, she probably thinks that you're calling it a day when all you were doing was taking your lunch.
No, because I know how she thinks. I'm so paranoid at this point that when she's in the office, I'm pretty sure that she's turning on our monitors to look and see if she can watch us work, because we're working remotely onto our computers in the office.
Why isn't she working remotely?
What's that?
Why isn't she working remotely?
She does, but managers are required to go in once a week.
Just get the COVID one day a week. That's all. That fucking makes sense.
another time we were talking about, I asked if I could leave a half an hour early one day and I'd work a half an hour later the next to make up for it, because I had had that crash with my car. The person who crashed into the telephone pole in front of me and the wire saw my car, it was off getting body work. So I mentioned that. Can I leave? Yes. She surprisingly said yes. And then she asked me the next day, how did it work out? And she asked me that day, you know, what's going on? I said, well, you know, that it's done. I have to drop it off. And then when it was over, she asked me how it was going. And I said, well, I'll just have to pay them the deductible. The insurance will cover the rest, and then I'll get the deductible back, because when they go after this guy's insurance. And she goes, don't you pay them the deductible? Don't you pay that up front? No, you wait, and you tell them that they're going to just have to get that from the insurance company. Lady, I already talked to the guy. That's not how it works. They're not going to let my car go when I owe them $500. That's not how life works. But this is Karen. Karen would ask to speak to the manager.
I like
because
that.
Because she was going to get that car out of there without paying the deductible.
Karen is absolutely right. Karen realizes a lot of you people out there are fuck-ups, and she's not going to deal with that anymore. I like the cut of this Karen's jib. She recognizes incompetence, and she's not going to stand for it. You go, Karen. You take a bite out of that ass and chew, baby. Chew, baby, chew.
What?
So,
I don't know you anymore.
What'd you say?
I don't know you anymore.
Yes, you do. You love me. All right, so after lunch, you see this email. Obviously, you have to address this. What do you do?
No.
No?
No.
You don't address
no,
it?
No, I did not. I said nothing.
Pip's like, fuck you.
I am not answering this bullshit. This is about my life. This is about my house. And my goddamn electricity. What's it to you?
Well, what's it to her? It's not on her dime, but on the company's dime.
No, I this laptop is powered up. My phone is powered up.
But she doesn't know that.
I'm still working. None of her damn business.
But she doesn't know that. She knows that she has so little confidence in you that she wants to see if you have battery life in your computer and phone. I'm just saying.
I did have to write back to her about something else, but I never mentioned the electricity.
See,
Don't tell me how to work the, you know, deal with the utilities in my house. What are you going to do? Are you going to, like, talk to Terminix for me next? What the hell is wrong with this woman?
Isn't Terminex an exterminator?
With the auto body and everything? Another kid.
Wait, isn't Terminex an exterminator?
What's that?
Isn't Terminex an exterminator?
Yeah, they are.
Why was that the first thing that came to mind? What type of critters do you have holed up with you?
Oh, we have this ongoing problem with carpenter bees.
Carpenter bees?
Yeah. Carpenter bees? What the hell are carpenter bees?
You never heard of carpenter bees?
I think are they like bees that eat wood?
Yeah, they are.
And you have
yeah.
out of all the things that have tried to get out of your house,
and they keep coming back.
Well, that tells you about these bees. They'll fucking live anywhere.
Oh, yeah. You know what? They have no standards. They like our house the best.
These bees are trying to kick you out. Get these fucking people out of there and take their cats,
well,
too.
Well, the difference between a regular bee is a regular bee builds a hive. The carpenter bee will build you a deck.
If only. I think if they would power wash my deck and then, like sand it and shellac it, that would be nice.
You know what you need to get? You need to get some of those landlord bees to kick out the carpenter bees.
Yeah.
It's my house. I don't need a landlord. Those days are gone.
No, it's Karen's house.
Oh, God. You know what? She deserves a landlord. Somebody who turns off her heat at intervals.
So did this...
She's unbelievable.
Did this have
you
a resolution?
What? What's that?
Did this whole episode have a resolution?
No, because I still work with her.
Fuck. All right. Well, that was down a long and winding road. Thank you. I kind of hope that, like, there was a confrontation or something. You know, I told Karen, I go, listen, this is my electricity. I'm doing the best I can. Or you had you groveling. But no, fucking nothing. Just nothing. This is why they had to bring Jason Bateman in. The writers on your life suck.
No, you know what, though? You know what, though? You see that post, and you're like, you got it.
No, the post was excellent. And you know what it was? Here's what the post was. You go to the movies, and, you know, like, they show you the preview of an upcoming movie, and it's, like, 3 minutes, and then those are, like, the best 3 minutes of the whole fucking movie? That's what we just got. We got the preview, which was amazing, and then the whole story a little too much.
There's no way to come back at her, because... She is like, she is ready to pounce on people and to take them down because she thinks she's the biggest bitch in the valley. And I think she is. But I'm just not ready to go in guns blazing because I am low woman on the totem pole.
You need to hire Mr. Davin. Mr. Davin will handle Karen.
I would love it.
Because I'm not going to take shit.
It'll be like the Honeymooners episode. Davin will call up as I want Pip Helix. She's perfect. You people should be blessed having her. I wish it was on our staff. Oh, what's that? I could hire her. She can go to you.
Yeah, it's like you could take her easily. We'll give her up. Wait a minute now.
All right, so Joe can do it.
That's not what I wanted.
So Joe can do it.
Yeah, you know.
You don't need Mr. Davin. Joe works at a cheaper rate than Mr. Davin does. Go with Joe. He seems to have a grasp on the situation. I'm not offended.
Yeah.
besides being a work negotiator, you should try him as a bullshit lawyer. His skills there are amazing as well.
let me tell you something. At my day program today, it's like, there was this big project that got dumped in my lap. One of my owners, I went about it just giving him a cut and dry price. This is the price. One, you get a down payment and there's a final payment. And then midstream, they changed everything on how they want the floors done, you know, the floors done with this product. And then they had to make changes. So I'm trying to make everything even keel with what we ordered and what we're charging. And now, he bore me out, but it was a whole thing with him yesterday, and I'm moving forward, and then my accounting department called, why is this being done this way? And I had to write this whole dissertation. But the past two, thank God it's been slow, for the past two afternoons, I've had to do Regents math to explain what the hell's going on. So, you know, it happens. You know, and the people I work for are very good. You know, it's a very good company to work for. They're very good. But in every company, there's, you know, there's antics. It's day to day. You know, it happens.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I've had it with antics.
Yeah, me too. But here we are. Anyway, moving along. So, so a lot of people at holidays, the Christians, Jews at holidays this past week. You had your Easter. You had your Passover. Have you ever, you guys ever been to a Seder before?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Pip, what do you think of Seders?
You know, it's interesting. It's a really different kind of situation. There's a lot of, it's, I know it's a symbolic food, but none of it's really good except for the mortar.
Except for the mortar. When you're eating the shit that holds the bricks together, and that's the highlight, you know you walked into another shitty Jewish holiday. All right. Pip is being kind. Pip is being very kind, which is unusual, but that's how it goes. A good Seder moves along fairly quickly, and by fairly quickly, you get the first half wrapped up in an hour and a half. You eat, and then there's like the back end hour, hour and a half that nobody gives a shit about except really Jewy Jews. That's a, that's a good Seder. What Pip says about the food, exactly on point. Exactly on point when it comes to the food. The maror, or the mortar, as you would call it, is the best part. Everything else sucks balls. You're eating fucking parsley dipped in salt water. Really? Haven't we fucking suffered enough? I'm eating fucking garnish that was left out in the ocean. Yuck, Jews. Yuck. But every year, we do this. Not once, but fucking twice on back-to-back nights. Why? Because we're Jews. If you're not fucking miserable enough the first time, wait for it. It's coming again. Because we're Jews. So that's the and every year is the negotiation. Everybody knows the four questions. You know, why is this night different than every other night? Because I'm fucking staring at my mother-in-law. That's why. No, that's not the answer.
Why?
So the youngest is supposed to read the four questions. My daughter's been the youngest for quite some time. No interest in reading the four questions. I paid for a goddamn bat mitzvah. She wants nothing to do with this Jewish shit. But here we are. Okay.
Wait a minute. She's the one that wanted to go to school for it and everything, right?
Yes!
This is why you had to deal with the racist rabbi.
Yes!
She's reading the questions.
She did not. Okay. But this is an ongoing case. That's a good Seder. That's a good Seder where you can follow along. This year, like everybody else who can hear my voice wherever you are, we're not supposed to be together. We're supposed to social distance. So like a lot of people, we did Zoom. God bless Zoom. So everybody in their various places throughout the New York, New Jersey, tri-state area is doing their Zoom thing. Now, what you probably have heard about Zoom is that sometimes it can be hacked. Racist things have gone on there. Pouring people. You know, if there's ever anything nice, somebody's going to try to ruin it. Usually it's me, but I have nothing to do with this.
I'm off duty that day. It's a holiday.
It's a Jewish holiday. I'm home and I'm ready to go. There's a Seder that needs my grudging fucking tolerance of. Anyway. Anyway, so usually we go to my brother-in-law's and my brother and sister-in-law's, and they do a nice job with it. But still, it's a Seder. You know what it's like? You know what it's like when a really ugly girl gives you a bad hand job? It's like, hey, it's a bad hand job. I mean, we're here, but it still fucking sucks, but it's a hand job, so you show up. That's a good Seder.
Boy.
Yeah, or girl, whatever you like. We don't judge. That's a...
But it's not good, but it's something?
I
don't know how to...
Yes, which is like most Jewish holidays. It's not good, but it's something. And, you know, many an ex-girlfriend would tell you, like a relationship with me, it's not good, but it's something. So I get it. I get it. But we're Jews, so we got to do it all the fucking time because there's a story of fucking misery. It can't be just that we're leaving on a fucking vacation. No, we were slaves. We were treated like shit. And then God said, after thousands of years, well, I guess you've suffered enough. Now we'll let you out. Thanks, God. Glad you fucking took your sweet ass time with it. whatever.
Hang on a second. Christians took the worst possible moment of their whole deity's existence and decided to make jewelry out of it. Come on.
What? No, but yeah, but the reason they made jewelry out of it is to fight a vampire. That makes sense. But anyway. But anyway, you're fucking very shallow people. Christians, very shallow. You don't have enough suffering. But anyway.
Don't look at me.
I'm looking at Joe. You're a fucking pagan.
We let one guy do the suffering for us. That's called Easter.
Yeah, Jesus took one for the team. She's like, don't worry, everybody. I got it. It'll be fine.
For the team day. Yeah.
And you know why Jesus took the suffering? Because he's a Jew. That's why.
That's why.
He's like, listen, if there's anything I know about the people that I'm not going to claim as my own after this whole thing fucking goes down, it's suffering.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty on point. His last moments as a Jew were the worst ever.
Yeah, and fucking Mary sitting there, his mother's going, well, I guess this means you won't call. Yeah, no, I mean, poor Jesus. Hearing all sorts of grief. So, you wanted to be a carpenter, did you? Why couldn't you be a magician? Then you could have gotten out of this shit. But no, you want to work with your hands. Whatever. Anyway, I digress.
And also, what happened was she said, all right, look, I'll be back. I'm going to visit you in about 3 days. I'll be over in 3 days. And you saw what happened there.
Yeah, but, I mean, what type of bullshit is that? I mean, his new people, this new religion think, you know what, not for nothing. You know, the Son of God's going to check on us every couple days. Nay, fucking false advertising.
Yeah.
That's like when you get a brand new car, and the first 10,000 miles the car runs great, and then the 11,000 mile the fucking muffler falls off. That's what Jesus did to you.
Well, when his girlfriend shows up to comfort him, she puts vinegar on a rag and shoves it in his mouth.
I don't even know what that means.
That was something that was done.
That sounds kinky. Anyway. So, I've described a good Seder. This was not a good Seder. Because...
That was a good one. Okay, what happened?
I described a good Seder. I just had this conversation with my parents the other day, who are very Orthodox Jews. I go, you know, the problem with Jews is all our holidays suck. And my mom goes, well, Hanukkah's pretty good. I go, fair enough. And then my dad chimes in, well, Purim's okay. All right, fair enough, unless you get, like, a prune hamantaschen, then yuck. But all right.
That doesn't even sound appetizing.
And
it
doesn't not.
Even sound appetizing. You're not like, it's sort of, I gotta have that. No, I would stay as far away from that as I could.
Here's how fucking Jews celebrate when we're happy about shit. We take one of the worst person in the story, and we make a very dry pastry out of his headwear. That's how fucking Jews celebrate shit, okay? Haman, who a Hamantaschen is named after, that's who we're naming shit after. The bad fucking guy. His hat, this is a Purim story, was a fucking triangle, apparently, because I guess Lincoln had fucking top hats cornered. I don't know. So we just make a triangle, this'll be our cookie, and it's dry. But I digress.
And it's dry.
Because God forbid we have a tasty fucking treat. Even when we're enjoying ourselves, our victories, we're fucking suffering through bad dessert. It's horrible.
We were going to make them out of plums, but it wasn't miserable enough, so we dried the plums and made prunes. Now it's there.
You know what's worse than the prune Hamantaschen? The moon Hamantaschen, which I don't know what the fuck that is. I just picture some fucking hairy rabbi just fucking pulling down his pants, and they're rubbing a triangle cookie against his ass. Go, here's your moon Hamantaschen. Eat it, Jews. That's what I picture going on.
See, that should be in the prayer. That should be in the prayers when you put it out. And he said, eat it, Jew.
Sure. Then we'd have more fucking suffering. But anyway.
And you just sit there and listen, God, eat us.
But anyway, I digress. So I described a good Seder. This was not that. So we have everybody on their fucking computer. Our laptop is at the end of the table so that everybody can see everybody. So that nobody can fucking sneak away. We're in this as a family unit. Nobody's getting out of this shit alive. We're all fucking on screen. So my brother-in-law, well, very industrious. I love my brother-in-law. He's a great man. I love him. Great guy. He puts together the Haggadah. The Haggadah is your book, your prayer book, to get you through the overlong halftime show that is the Seder. So, you know, and there's all different Haggadahs, all different versions. But if you're together, you can kind of go, well, on you know, on the Scholastic version of the Haggadah, we're on page 13. On the Arrow Books version of the Haggadah, we're on page 15. You can kind of keep your shit together. But my brother-in-law, he comes up with his own Haggadah, which is very industrious, and he emails it to everybody so we can all follow along together. That sounds
very organized.
That sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what my brother-in-law needed? A goddamn proofreader.
Oh, God.
Because we all have the same Haggadah, but nobody can follow along. So you're skipping, you're jumping. And here's the thing. It's not that good of a story if you can follow along. It certainly isn't good if you don't know where the fuck you're going.
Oh, boy.
So he's skipping all over the place. I mean, he's trying to keep it together. But again, fucking a proofreader could have solved this whole... It's not like you didn't have time. You had a fucking month to put this shit together. Not like you were busy. Nobody's fucking busy. So he puts this... Everybody's skipping along, trying to follow along. Nobody can follow. Now we're on our phones, but we got the goddamn Zoom camera.
You know what the funny thing is with the... It's like with me, where it's like, blog, please... Like, oh shit.
Yes, and we could smell the half assery in your blogs, Joe. Don't you think that goes unnoticed? Don't worry, Pip, this week you're up. But anyway.
Oh, I knew it.
Yeah. Everybody pays the blog price. But anyway, so it's impossible to follow along. So now you're just on your phone dicking around. Now you're on Facebook trying to see if other Jews are miserable wherever they may be, because misery loves company. So we finally get through the first half fucking slog where nobody can follow along. It's going longer than usual. We're not together, so there's not that feeling of family. We're finally past all the horrible fucking food, which by the time you fucking, as you're going through, you're like, wow, food, that'll break it up. I don't give a shit if it's a matzah sandwich. What's a matzah sandwich? Matzah with matzah. Because if not one piece isn't fucking dry enough, let's have two stacked on top of each other. Yeah, Jews. What?
So you want to wash it down with a little salt water with parsley?
Yeah. What's that? Is that a radish? That will look good. Let's eat that now. Yuck. Jews. I'm not making this shit up. So.
It sounds like a fat horse challenge buffet.
Yes, but we do it because we do it because we love God and we're thankful, Joe. Anyway. Or in my case, because you have to. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we finally get to the part where we can eat our meals. We're right there. And then what fucking happens? What happens every goddamn time you bring non-Jews to the fucking thing? Because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to bring non-Jews to the celebration to open it up to them. Because you figure, we're fucking suffering. Walk 40 years in our fucking shoes. That's what we figure.
Where do you recruit them? How do you suck them in?
Well, you can always
obviously, I've been to one, so that's how it happens.
You can always get a Christian once. So,
yep.
So, but
it's like a shit open mic.
Yes.
So you get the kid ain't coming back, but at least we got somebody sitting there.
Now here's the problem with Christians, amongst many, but this particular one. This is all new and exciting to them. They don't understand there's a pot two coming on the other half of the meal. They don't understand we're doing this shit again tomorrow. And they don't understand we've done this shit for 45 fucking years. To them, it's all new and wonderful. It's brand new. You know what it's like? It's like, you know, when you're a kid and you get that trick where there's a can that looks like peanut brittle and you open up and the snake's coming out. You know that?
Yep.
That's fun the first five fucking times. After a while, we get it. It's not fun anymore. Now it's just irritating. But instead, it's 4 hours of it. But anyway.
Well, it's almost like the first time when you wanted to cut the lawn when you were a kid. Can I try? Sure you can. In about 10 minutes, you're like, this blows.
Yes. Like, yes. Except like Christians. Christians are not hep. They're not hep to it blowing.
I go on the lawn tractor, and I went on at 12. I didn't get off till I was 55, so enough of that.
Yeah, there you go. But for Christians, this is all new and wondrous, eating this awful food. It's all part of the experience. I feel like a Jew now. Do ya? It's all so exciting. Oh, I have so many questions. Kill yourself. Fucking kill yourself. Because you know what happens? The person who gives a shit about the Seder, who's fucking running the Seder, was waiting for this goddamn moment. Because now they can show off. It's like the fucking Asian kid who knows trigonometry who's been fucking bullied the whole year. Nobody fucking liked this kid until the fucking trigonometry test came around. And now you give a shit about what he has to say. That's what this is. That's what this is. So the person who organized this whole fucking thing is in all his glory. The nipples are hard. We're going to give you, well, this Rabbi Eliezer says this. Does he? He's dead. I don't give a shit. Well, Rabbi Yosef says this. And Rabbi ba-ba-ba. So there's no fucking answers. There's no definitive answers. It's just like what Jews always do. A bunch of fucking possibilities, but we can't fucking commit to a decision unless it means we're going to get persecuted, because that shit we can rally around. So we're about to eat. We're about to goddamn eat. And then there's the questions. And then there's the answers. So now it's another 45 minutes until we can fucking eat. And then finally, you get to eat. And the food is dry now because it was supposed to be eaten a while ago. Because every year you fucking forget that there's going to be a Christian that's going to have questions. Every year you forget. Every year it's your fault. You time the food to be moist and juicy, but you ballpark it about when it'll end. You always forget the Christians. And the Christians will not be forgotten. They will not be forgotten, as you, anybody who's been in this fucking country around Christmas. We get it. Anyway.
It's the Christian drying factor.
Yes. So, okay, fine. We get through our fucking meals. Now we just got the back nine of the goddamn Seder. Maybe we can just hurry up and rush through this shit and get to bed at an early night. Because after the Seder, you don't want to do anything else. You just want to go to sleep and make the night end, because you got to do it again tomorrow.
This is sounding so festive so far.
You know what it's like? It's like being a Jet fan. It's like being a Jet fan in, what was it, like 1999, when you had all this fucking hope, and Vinny Testaverde goes out in the first fucking game, and now you got to grind through fucking 16 games of a lost season.
I remember that. Oh, God.
That's what a Seder is. A Jet season when Vinny Testaverde goes out, or when Sam Darnold gets mono. That's what it is. You're just going to grind. Or like every Mets season. You get the point.
Like every Mets. It's not even like a single. No, every Mets season. There's no hope.
So now, well, you had hope this year, but then God said, fuck it. No season. Anyway.
Funny.
So anyway, you're going to get through this. You know, figure an hour 15, we're out of here. We're going to fuck it. We're going to get through this. Then we all go to bed at 9:30 because we're drained. Now it's like 11, but anyway, you're 12. I don't know. Time stands still during the whole process. Anyway, you're about to get it. You're going to get your third glass of wine. But no, Christian has more fucking questions. Here we go again. This is why you wound up on the fucking 2x4s. This type of bullshit right here. So there's more questions. Finally, I go to my wife and go, I'm out of here. Fuck it. And I wave goodnight to everybody on Zoom, and I went upstairs. I couldn't take it anymore. Enough.
I got a question for you. Is it like when you're at a gig? Primarily a firehouse show, and all the comics are sitting at the table, and you have that one guy that wants to come up and ask the comics questions. So are you guys going to be funny tonight? Yeah, we're going to be funny tonight. So where do you come from? I come from Long Island. Oh, okay. Where are you in the show? I think I'm third to last. You know, you're one of those guys. I'm like, just leave me. Just shut up.
Kind of. Here's where we were. I opened by telling you some of the problems were with some of the issues that people are having with Zoom. About 45 minutes in, I was praying we would get hacked and somebody would put swastikas or put a cock on the fucking screen. I was praying. There was old people there. We might have lost some people. If they saw like a cock or a swastikas, or God forbid, a cock with swastikas on the side of it, we might have lost some of the older folks, but I was prepared to make that sacrifice on their behalf.
The older folks. We might have lost some of the old folks. They clutched their pearls and got lost. The rest came on.
When you are a straight male and you are just playing God, let there be a cock.
Well,
you know.
Anything to break the monotony.
Yes! Yes! God, I will eat this fucking garnish and radish if we just can have two bowls dance across the screen. That's all I'm asking for.
Should have called me. I could have made that happen.
Yeah, so that was Passover. Anyway, which is still going
on.
It's
like you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, is that Elijah or the Dong Ranger? What is that?
The Dong Ranger. It's Elijah. It's like Deviant Elijah. He comes through the fucking door and just fucking pulls out his cock. Go ahead, take a picture. It's nice.
Don't let him sit there.
Is that or with the food? Is that Elijah at the door? No, it's Pizza Hut. I can't eat this.
All right. Very briefly, before we take our break, very briefly, I do want to mention something that Joe and I did participate. Amazingly enough, Joe and I are not working right now. I know. How can that be? Fucking pandemic. Pandemic. But we were asked to be part of something that was very good. Our buddy John LaRocchia, who's a comedian, and Butch Seltzer, he's not a fucking bubbly beverage, put together, they work with Laughter Saves Lives. It's John, I don't know how Butch is involved, but I know they work together on the organization. So what John wanted to do is he wanted to put together this fundraiser to raise money to get medical supplies for first responders and hospital personnel. What a great fucking cause. Because as we know,
yeah,
a lot of them are a lot don't have what they need. You know, and John said he sent an email to us. He goes, you know, I worked on the fire department hazmat team for 10 years, and we always had safe, clean equipment. I can't imagine going into battle without it. And that's what we're asking the first responders to do. So, you know, Joe and I were asked to be part of it. It was mostly Long Island guys. I was actually honored to fucking make the cut. They asked
everyone.
Yeah, no,
city comics too, you know, a lot of guys, you know, guys.
So
guys from Brooklyn.
So now here's how it was supposed to go down. I said on here, I'm not doing a Facebook Live show. I'm not doing that, like a comedy show on Facebook Live. Not going to do it. He asked us to do it. Fine. I'll do it. I was going to do it in front of my cassettes, perform in front of an empty den. I was going to do it. And then, you know, I worked out some stuff. And then, like, the day of, a few hours before, he goes, well, we could also do an interview style. Thank God. Thank God. Because then, you know, you're just chatting with John. I did it. What did you do, Joe? You did interview style, too, right?
I didn't think, because he asked me to say that. You know, I just said, no, you know, really? I don't, you know, let's do the interview thing. And I think both for you and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, a lot of guys do podcasts, too. I'm not going to take it away. But for you and I, you know, basically, we've been doing our show going on 8 years, I guess over 8 years now.
More than that. We started in 2011.
All right. So, yeah. So we've been doing it, you know, 9 years. So we're so used to learn how to, the first couple of years we did it, first 2 years, we had to learn to do it. But, and we're good at it. Let's cut the, you know, we're good at it. So to do an interview thing kind of comes natural to the both of us. So to do it. Fine. I have no problem. I have no problem of, you know, striking up a conversation, keeping a conversation. So it was refreshing to do, and I was glad to do it. And you had a great spot. I don't know if you saw mine. I was on a lot later. You were on like around 6:15. I was on at
No, I wasn't on at 6:15, but I was on in the first hour, thankfully. I was very appreciative of that.
Yeah, I was on. I was my spot was 9:30, which wasn't a problem, you know, which was good. And it was very good to do. And also another thing to add is the behind-the-scenes guys, you know, like Butch and all those guys, did a fantastic job. I mean, you go into the waiting room, everything came up, you know, the interview went well. So just where there could have been a lot of tech.
You kept it light, right? You kept it light.
I'm sorry?
You kept the interview light, as I recall, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. You know, I thanked everybody, you know, all the people I wanted to detail, you know, about, you know, I kind of kept a little bit topical. I didn't get heavy like we do here sometimes.
No.
But no, I kept it light. You know,
I say that, the
jokes.
I say that because I had it on the background. I thought some people were a little heavy with that. Was I mistaken? Did I mishear it?
Well, it depends. It depends who you have on. I mean,
okay.
If you had a personal story or you had to know, because before I was on, you had a fire lieutenant on that was telling them about what they're dealing with. They had a nurse on before him
mm-hmm.
that was telling her about the battle. So, yeah, so it was heavy, but it's, you know, that's what they do when they're telling us real-life stories about what they're dealing with.
So
it got heavy. I don't know if any of the comics got heavy.
I thought a couple of comics were, but again, I had it on in the background, so I could be completely wrong. Anyway, I just wanted to keep it light. That was my thing. Going to keep it light. Going to mix some jokes in there. Bust some chops. John was great. So the thing went on for 5 hours, and they raised over $10,000 for PPE to get first responders the equipment they so desperately need. So great job by John, by Butch, by Laughter Saves Lives. Joe and I were honored to be asked.
Yes,
great
we were.
So it's still up. You can get, it's still up there if you want to watch it. You can still donate. You go to the best way to do it right now off the top of my head is go to Laughter Saves Lives on Facebook, and then I'm sure there'll be a link. I think it's up on YouTube. You can watch it. You can still donate. Listen, people still need hospital, you know, masks and gloves and all that stuff. My wife is still crank making all that stuff. So definitely watch it. It's fun. You get to see a lot of comics that you may have seen on stage. May not. Listen, I got to be honest with you. I don't know when we're going to be on stage again, so this might be the last time you get to see us. I'm just fucking saying. But, you know, kudos to John. I'm so glad that Joe and I could be part of it. I wore my Davin's Den shirt. Little self-promotion. Why the fuck not? But anyway.
Yeah, I have my fragile. Yeah, I couldn't find my damage, but it's in a container. So I got my. I wore my.
It's in a container, like it's got COVID-19. Joe just fucking Lysoled it and like buried it at sea.
That's one of the jokes I did. I go. Originally, we weren't taking this thing seriously because COVID-19 sounds like a planet on Star Trek.
Funny.
It does.
All right. Anyway, but yeah, I just want to
COVID-19.
This fuck we COVID-19.
Yeah, all right.
We wish all of our
Christ. It's fucking.
We wish all of our beautiful women to mate with your crew.
Okay. Anyway, it's so hard to fucking wrangle you guys when you're not here and we can't look at each other. It's really fucking hard.
I'm sorry.
But every show's going
can't
through
it. Can't look at each other when we are together.
Right. No, but I mean, like you see it on TV. Too, like, you know, people, it's just hard, but you know, you got to try the best. We got to try to take our breaks and anything. But anyway, it was good. I encourage you guys to go look up Laughter Saves Lives. You can look for it on Facebook and donate. And it was a good time. It was a fun time. So yeah, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, the president doesn't like mail-in voting. Is the WWE an essential business? Our church is an essential business. We'll make fun. We'll have fun with it. All sorts of good stuff. A new scam out there targeting your stimulus check. Then we'll do some scamming scammers. So we got a lot of fun stuff ahead of us. On the break, short break, two new tunes. We got Penelope Darling with Love Myself. First time Penelope's been on the show. Penelope Darling with Love Myself. And TJ Cole with Señorita Traviesa. Fuck, I'm not even going to try to roll the tongue. My tongue is too fat and fucking stupid.
Don't try it. Just normal. Don't try to be like, you know.
Just read it straight, Jew. You're not gifted enough. I got it. TJ Cole with Señorita Traviesa, and you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. Short break. We will be right back.